Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Beaver Parish Church.
Lord, open my lips that I might proclaim your good news. Holy Spirit, be within me and resonate within each other person here this day. Amen. So we continue our series of looking at aspects that, I suppose, in some way characterize us as a community. And today we explore what it means to be a community of faith. It's common to hear the word faith in everyday life. In the run-up to the election, we are asked to put our faith in the politicians to get Brexit done. Or if you're on the other side, deliver for the many and not the few. Lisette reliably informs me that you can buy shoes that are made by a company called Faith. I didn't get any for Christmas. Banks encourage us to put our faith in them to look after our money. Maybe you're a Man United fan, and the big question that's vexing you this Christmas is, should the Glazers keep their faith in Ollie? Or should they go for Pochettino while he's still available? George Michael sang, "You Gotta Have Faith." And although the chorus was good, the less memorable verses really didn't offer us anything to put our faith in. I was at Ravenhill watching Ulster play Harlequins last month. Ulster were losing by 9 points with 10 minutes to go. And I found myself thinking, but this is Ulster. We're at home. Of course we're going to win. I had faith, and John Cooney delivered, kicking a penalty to win by a point in the last minute. But if Ireland's World Cup performance in Japan taught us anything, it was the fickleness of putting our faith and expectation in a sporting team. All religions have some elements of faith, claims they make about the world, the universe, how it was created, its purpose, our roles, our obligations, and these are often seen as statements of faith. Christianity shares some of these with the other religions of Judaism and Islam. Yet these claims can't be seen. Any reputable lawyer would not accept these as statements of fact. They're believed, and we speak them by faith. And as Christians, we've a particular set of beliefs that we hold to. And today we said some of them as we shared together the creed. Statements of what we believe. And we say it quickly, but it's got a deep meaning. What makes us different from other religions is Jesus. What makes our faith unique as Christians is Christ, because we're followers of Jesus. I love this image, and to me it shows Jesus as a child, but he's also in a bit of a Superman pose, which shows his power. And it suggests to me how God and humanity are joined together in one person, Jesus, who at 30 left his home in Nazareth to become a preacher, healer, prophet, whose message and radical lifestyle changed and set the world on fire, who was put to death, buried, and rose again so we can be reconciled to God. The passage we read reminds us of the temporal nature of this earth and how our true home with God is in heaven. Therefore, we aren't to get too fixed to this earth. Verses 6 and 7. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from God. For we live by faith, not sight. We live by faith, not sight. The word faith in this instance comes from the Greek pistis. A pistis understanding sees faith not as a static, binary concept, not something that you either have or don't have. Faith is something that's ongoing, deepening, growing, developing. The Lord continuously births faith in the believer so they can know and follow his will. We walk by faith, not sight. And this emphasis on walking helps us see faith as something that's not sedentary or static, but something that's dynamic. It moves. And I want to suggest faith isn't something that we hold in our head, but it's an action, something that we do. Suggesting faith is a verb rather than a noun. So how do we walk by faith and not our sight? When I was growing up in an era before health and safety, a popular activity to do with a youth group was a nightline. The nightline was essentially a rope which was there to guide you through an obstacle course. If the rope went over something, you went over it. If it went through something, you went through it, and so on. It was called a nightline because you did it blindfolded or in the dark with someone giving you instructions. And it usually started out easy enough. You'd step over a few logs, maybe some rough ground, but it got progressively harder. Maybe you'd find yourself going through a tunnel or over a wall. And at times it could be unnerving. And you had to tread carefully and consciously take each step. And I think this is a great metaphor for how we walk by faith and not by sight as we live our lives. As we navigate life's obstacles and tribulations, the landscape that we walk fluctuates from being easy to being hard. And we don't totally see, yet we hold on to the guide rope, trying desperately to hear God's voice that will guide our steps. Often trying not to be distracted by the voices that might lead us the wrong way. And blindfolded, you can't see where the final destination is. You only know when you're told. Only when you take off the blindfold and look back can you fully understand where you stand and how you got there. The journey and the obstacles then begin to make sense. Danish theologian Kierkegaard explained how life can only be understood backwards but must be lived forwards. And I think this metaphor of faith being akin to following a nightline places us in the right space. It allows for an appropriate degree of caution and tentativeness. As Adrian said last week, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. Certainty misses the point entirely. Faith includes living and noticing the mess, the contradiction, the predicament, the emptiness, and the discomfort we are often in. Faith normalizes and accepts that we have doubts. But we continue and choose to walk with this uncertainty. God's desire for each of us is to teach us to walk through our lives by faith and not by sight. To learn to live in a way that is different from the rest of the world. Walking with our own vision, with our own agenda of the world, will cause us to follow the ways maybe of advertising, the media, the spin we are presented, the prevailing culture, what everyone else does. Walking by faith will often lead us to do what the world thinks is illogical, idiotic, and frankly stupid. To send hundreds of thousands of pounds to a hospital in India. To dress up in a dressing gown and a tea towel on your head and search the aisles for the Holy Family in Tesco. To invite Muslims to use our church building to celebrate Eid. Every week to have the building flooded by children to dance, to have fun, and scuff up the floor with their dancing shoes. To lose our reputation amongst other churches when we welcome all for the sake of the gospel. To challenge ourselves to have doors wide open, to be a church for those who don't belong yet, to go to the broken places where Jesus already is. As Bishop Alan Abernethy put in his recent book, Jesus catches us in his net of love so we can go and spread the net for others. When we're following a nightline, the voice which guides is really important. And maybe you know some people who are visually impaired. The people who I know will often comment how when they lose their sight, their hearing becomes more and more important, and their ability to listen is heightened. We live in a noisy and busy world with lots of different voices competing to be heard. Daily our senses are bombarded with images and sound trying to get our attention. And paying attention to what God is trying to communicate to us in the midst of this noise is no easy task. Reverend Richard Coles, in his autobiography, writes, "It's difficult to accustom ourselves to silence in a world of relentless noise. Difficult to simply surrender, to let go of our needs, to ignore our internal commentaries with all their evasions and incompleteness, and to tune into the frequency, to find the signal of God among the static. To find the signal of God among the static." Often I meet people and ask them how they are, and they'll often reply, "I'm fine, but busy." There's an assumption being busy is the norm. People often admit or say that they want to learn how to pray, they want time to be with God, but can't find the space or the time. Maybe they think they don't have a choice about getting into this overactive state. Yet when you break it down to them, the reality is we all passively choose this lifestyle. And if we want to live by faith and not by sight, we must make the time to learn the art of listening to God. Even when we try really hard to listen, there are times when the guiding voice seems absent. The path that you walk might seem full of darkness. You lack courage to go forward. But you can't stand still, and you can't go back. You want nothing more than a certain voice from God. Mother Teresa experienced this when she wrote in a letter to a friend, "But as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer, but it does not speak. And maybe at best God is, as Meister Eckhart put it, like a person hiding in the dark who coughs just occasionally to give himself away. This hiddenness can be painful. It can be unbearing. We can question and we have doubts. What is this being a Christian all about? What are we doing? What's the point? and we yearn for God's voice to come and be crystal clear and precise. And there have been times in my life, and I'm sure in yours too, when you're beset with fear and anxiety. You're full of unanswerable questions, like when family members get sick, or close friends die, or life puts you in circumstances and you really don't think they're going to work out. And you're left thinking, where are you, God? What am I to do next? And some Christians might give you a quick fix. They might say, convert, say this prayer, all your problems will evaporate. But God doesn't ever say, if you believe in me, everything is going to be all right. There'll be no tragedies, no problems, no difficulties. C.S. Lewis put it like this: I didn't go to religion to make me happy. If you want a religion to make you really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. So we stand on this last Sunday of the calendar year, full of hope for 2020, but also full of reality. This year we'll have highs and lows. As a community and as individuals, we'll see births, we'll see celebrations of baptism, just like Callum's today. There'll be deaths. There'll be times when we're brought to the end of ourselves. There'll be moments when we're brought to great joy in worship. Hopefully there'll be invitations to places we never expected to go. Opportunities we never anticipated as a church. But there'll be situations where we find ourselves completely out of our depth and reliant on God. And what is asked of us as people of faith is to continue to walk by faith in this strange land, which Paul reminds us is not our true home. And sometimes we'll just be given enough faith to put one foot in front of the other, then faith for the next step, then faith for the next step, then faith for the next step. And so we make our path by walking it. And we have as our example St. Paul, who knew both prison cell and the joy of the open road, setting out on adventures. Who knew that shipwreck and hospitality of strangers were often two sides of the one coin. Corrie ten Boom, that wonderful Dutch Christian whose family helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust, who was imprisoned and survived concentration camp. After all of that, she described faith as fantastic adventures in trusting him. After all she had been through, she said faith was fantastic adventures in trusting him. So this year, let's open our hearts and minds. Let's grab the rope of the nightline and embrace the fantastic adventure before us, wherever it may lead. William Stafford, in his book, The Way It Is, puts it this way: there's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you're pursuing. You have to explain about the thread. But it is hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen. People get hurt or die. You suffer, you get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. But you don't ever let go of the thread. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear previous weeks and for more information, go to beaverparish.co.uk/sermons.